haters. I won't talk about haters. Amen. Amen. And I want you to know that you can succeed in spite of your haters. Uh-huh. I need to tell you up front that a reality of life is there will always be haters. Amen. Brother Morgan said well on Friday night. He said, haters like the poor will be with you always. And that's true. That's true. There will always be haters. Now, the beloved disciple John, I'm going somewhere. This is not just about haters. The beloved disciple John tells us in John, 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Amen. The world hates us because of who we are. Amen. Amen. But don't be surprised at who the haters might be. Uh-huh. In the first family on this people planet. Y'all hearing me? The elder son, Cain, was a hater and killed his younger brother, Abel. And why was Cain a hater? Now remember, they're brothers. Same mama and same daddy. But yet, Cain was a hater. Why was he a hater? Because Abel was morally upright and Cain was not. Have you ever noticed how people don't like you because you live right? Amen. Because, you know, they don't see you coming out the club. Amen. Amen. They don't see you slipping and tipping. And they just can't stand that. Amen. But there's something that we need to learn from this. Mm-hmm. Amen. People who are morally upright expose and shame those who are not. Now, let me say that again because somebody didn't get that. Amen. People who are morally upright will expose and shame those who are not. Cain was not given all his best to God, as did Abel. Now, it's amazing. All he had to do was, you know, clean up his act. Amen. Amen. They both brought their gifts to the Lord. And Abel was accepted and Cain was not. Now Cain got an attitude because his gift was not accepted. And the Lord gives him a chance to get it right. And don't you know, my brothers and sisters, as long as you're in the flesh, the Lord continues to give you a chance, the opportunity to get it right.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Now, when we think about Daniel, Daniel certainly fits the profile of a morally upright man.
That's right.
Uh-huh. That's right. But he was in a sea of haters.
That's right.
Amen. Here is a man. Now, at this time, Daniel is about 80 years old. I want to correct some folks' perspective. They still see Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego as little boys. That they're no longer little boys now. Amen, amen. Daniel is about 80 years old, and God is still blessing him. And that's really the first point I want to make. Just because you're 80, you don't have to retire. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. The Lord still had some work for Daniel. And the text says Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. And the reason was because an excellent spirit was in him. My brothers and sisters, an excellent spirit is not determinate on your age.
That's right. That's right.
Your relationship with the Lord determines, amen, the kind of spirit you have. Amen. See, sometimes folk wonder how come folk act like they act. It's because of the spirit that's indwelling them. Amen. If it's the spirit of the Most High God, amen, you learn how to put up with stuff. Uh-huh. When the spirit of the Most High God is indwelling you, amen, you're not worried about what folks say. Now think about it. Daniel is had been a young man brought from Jerusalem, and he's now in a strange land. He is amongst ethnic diverse people, and the Lord has promoted him. Now he had a real problem because here are some folk that's looking at him, and they continue to refer to him as that fella you bought from. When we understand that it's not where we come from, it's how we adapt to where we are. Daniel is over 80 years old, and he's one of King Darius's top 3 administrators. Daniel was working with haters, but the scripture says he worked more efficiently and capably than all of them. Now, there's another lesson here. It tells us in Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. When you bless folk and they really don't appreciate it, don't get weary in well-doing. For you shall reap in due season if you faint not. See, you can bless folk. And you know what they say? What have you done for me lately? But you keep on doing right, because he who knows right knows that you're doing right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the best ways to influence the people around you, listen now, and to represent God is to work diligently and responsibly. Let me say that again, because somebody needs to hear this. Amen, amen. That should never be a time you're working that you're not giving your best. One of the best ways to influence the people around you, and please know this, that if you're in the body of Christ, you represent the Most High God. And folk are looking at you how you live. One of the things that always amazed me when I was in the public work sector is those people who presented themselves as Christians that were willing to steal. Yeah, let's say that for effect. Because they would steal time. They were stealing money. And they were actually taking material things. And if you are a child of the Most High God, there should never be a need for you to steal. Now, see, when I talk about stealing, when you work 6 hours for an 8-hour check, there is some stealing there too. When you meet yourself going on a break, you coming out and going in. On a break, I'll be back. I got to take a break. You report it in the morning, and you've got to stop by the ladies' room or the men's room, and you've got to complete your preparation for the day's duty. And so 30 minutes will have elapsed before you do the first thing. All right. You know what the haters are saying? Ain't nothing to them folk. They just like me. But let me tell you something, folk. If you're working around, if you know haters, present the best that you can be. Amen. Handle your affairs in a Colossians 3:23 way. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Isn't it good when the only criticism that's on about you is about your church life. Isn't that good? Amen. When folk talk about you, the only thing they can find to talk about is that you go to church. Amen. That you're a tither. Uh-huh. Isn't it amazing how some folk, but they'll talk about you anyway if they're a hater. Always going to church. Every time you see them, there they go again, going to church. That's not C-H-U-R-C-H, it's C-H-U-C-H, church. Going to church. Nobody needs to go to church that much. Well, I don't know, how much do you love the Lord? Amen. If you love the Lord and he's been good to you, you love spending time with him. And then if you love him, you love your brothers and sisters. You see, that's one of the joys of coming to the house of the Lord. Not only do we share in the worship experience, but we have the opportunity to fellowship one with another. Amen. Amen. And you know, when God's people come together and they start reflecting on the goodness of the Lord, something happens. Amen. When I see Sister Singletary come in, I get happy because she knows what I'm talking about. Amen. And you know, when somebody can wave their hands, when you say the Lord has sure been good. Amen. Amen. There is a good feeling because you know you're talking to folk who can appreciate what God has done for you. Amen. Amen. See, some folk, they're looking at God and saying, what have you done for me today? Well, if they're thinking God woke you up this morning. If you're in this house, God brought you to this place. If you're really thinking God put breath in your body, amen, God has been good to us. And let me tell you something, folks. None of us can live independent of the Lord. Amen. For a while we can get out there, but you need him. Amen. 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 God watches out for us. Here is a young man that's now an old man. God bought him, allowed him to be bought to Babylon. Amen. Amen. As a young man, and God watched over him all of his life. And in the latter part of his life, God is still blessing him. Amen. Amen. But have you listened to that? Folk will say, you know, it doesn't take all of that. You ever heard anybody say that? Amen. When you start saying amen, and you kind of wave your hand, and if you're not waving your hand, you're kind of patting your feet, and they're sitting there watching you saying, it just don't take all of that. Well, you know, I don't know what it takes for you, but I know what it takes for me. Amen, amen. If I don't get to praise him, something is wrong. Amen. But what happens? What happens, my brothers and sisters, when we look at a person like Daniel? Amen. Daniel has done a good job. Those haters couldn't find anything about his life that would stop them. And so they determined, we got to find some way to stop him. Amen. We can't have this foreigner telling us what to do. And so they go into the king. They plot. And I want you to know, there are times when it seems like the haters will have the upper hand. Let me say that again. There are times when it seems like, and you got to understand, seem like. Amen. Because it's not forever. But here are these presidents and princes, the haters, they came together and then went into the king, amen, and asked him, you know what you ought to do, king? And see, haters know how to read folk. They knew the king was susceptible to flattery. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so they go into the king and say, this is Daniel 6 and verse 5. King, you know what would be good? That whosoever shall ask a petition of any man for 30 days, except thee, O king, he'll be cast into the dens of lions. Well, king, establish a decree and put it in writing. You know you're worthy of it. And see, they know how to read folk, and the king was a little bit open and susceptible to this kind of flattery. And so he signed the law, the decree. But I want you to look at verse 10, because this is where I was headed. What happens when it seems like the haters have the upper hand? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did he do? Did he fall apart?
No.
Did he call his prayer group together?
No.
He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
The Bible said he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. Watch this. Gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What I want you to see is, number one, you have to stay the course. Amen. What you've been doing, keep on doing it. Amen. If God's been blessing you, don't let them folks stop God from blessing you. Amen. There are times when the haters get in our life, we will allow them to draw us to their level. Never let that happen. Stay the course. Keep your eyes focused on the starport that sits in Zion. God is a good God. So stay the course. Amen. And then do what you always do. And the Bible says that Daniel always prayed. Three times a day he would pray. Amen. The fact that the decree had been signed was not an impediment to his prayer life. He kept on praying. And I want you to see, and when times are dark, we ought to pray more often. Amen. When things are happening, we ought to pray more often. The Bible says that these fellows were watching what Daniel was going to do. This is such an interesting story. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled. Now, they had to be out there listening under the window. And when Daniel starts praying, and Daniel was probably like some of us, he got loud when he was praying. Amen. And it says, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So he's praying to the Lord, and these men come up, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Amen. The only problem that they could find in his life was that he was a prayer. He believed in his God. Now they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man should ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the dens of lions? The king said, yeah, that's true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they. Now watch this. They think they got Daniel. And see, the haters would think they got you. I got you now. Yeah. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel. Can you see the contempt in that? They can't even talk about him. That Daniel. You know, when folk want to talk about you, you know, they use derisive terms. And sometimes they're not necessarily vulgar, but the way they state it. That Daniel. That Daniel. Which is of the children of the captivity of Judah. Are y'all reading this? Regardeth not thee, O king. Now, the king has promoted him, but they are saying, hey, he's not your subject. See, which tells us, always think for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
O king, verse 13. He regardeth not thee, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Well, ain't nothing new there, but they're going to make sure that he knows they be praying three times a day. I wonder if we could be convicted of praying. Hallelujah. Two times? One time. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with not anybody else, but with himself. He had been drawn into a trap, and now they've sprung the trap. But let me tell you something. When you're on the Lord's side, amen, amen, it does not matter what folk do. Amen, amen. God knows how to take care of those that are his. Have I got a witness? And so the Bible says, the Bible said that when the king sought some way, can I get out of this? Amen. Then the people reminded the king that there was no way he could get out of it. Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. One thing I love about when they put you into the den of lions, it becomes a den of Daniel. Amen, amen. God knows how to take care of those that are his. Amen. They threw him in and amen. And the Bible said that the king said, now the king spake, this is verse 16, and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Well, that's kind of close to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said. The God that we serve can deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow, O king. Amen. But the king knew that the God that Daniel served was able to do it. My question to you today is, do you know that the God you serve is able to deliver you from whatever you're going through? Does not matter how hot it might get, God is able to bring you through more than a conqueror. Sometimes we're walking around wringing our hands when we ought to be praising him. Amen. When you got your hands down, wringing them, you can't praise him. But if you elevate your hands and start praising him, amen, you invite the Lord into the presence of your business. Have I got a witness? Amen. The Bible said, verse 17, the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his Lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. But when you live right, amen, even the king got a problem. Amen, amen. The king knew he didn't do right. But God has a way of reminding you, amen, don't get caught up with the haters. If there's somebody in this room that's being afflicted by haters, don't be weary in well-doing. Keep on keeping on, because the God that you serve, amen, is greater than anyone who comes against you. One thing I want you to know is you got to know who you are. And when you know that you're a child of the Most High God, amen, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. And any tongue that rises against you, the Lord said, I'll condemn them. I know how to take care of you. Have I got a witness? Amen. Verse 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Amen. I don't want to hear any music tonight. Amen. There's trouble in the palace. But then early in the morning, amen, he arose and went into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. Amen. Tears dropping out of his voice. He's crying out, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thy servant is continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Oh, praise the Lord. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, forever. I don't know about your God, but my God is able today. He's able to bring me out more than a conqueror. Listen to what he says in verse 22. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocent was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Amen. When you're living right, God knows how to take care of you. When you're doing right, God knows how to take care of you. Amen. When you want to succeed, keep on doing what God has ordained for you to do. There are times when we feel like we want to give it up. I'm doing my best and they lying on me, talking about me, calling me all kinds of things. But can I tell you something? Amen. People can't define you. I've already been defined. I am, amen, made and created in the likeness of the image of the living God. Have I got a witness? Amen. Does not what people call me is what God says. And God said, I am his child. Amen. Daniel was blessed. I want you to run down now to verse 28, and I'm almost done. Amen. So this Daniel. Y'all looking at this? Verse number 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and then in his replacement, the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Amen. What I'm trying to get you to see is God will take care of those that are his. Amen. The haters are died out, and God is still blessing Daniel. I don't know about you, but one thing I've learned is how to trust in the living God. Have I got a witness? Amen. I want you to know that can't anyone, and if I'm down south, I'll say can't nobody, do me like the Lord. Have I got a witness here? Amen. The haters might talk about me, call me everything but a child of God. But I want you to know that I am who God says I am. God said I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed coming out. God says I'm the head and not the tail. God said I'm upright. And if God said I'm upright, I am upright. I don't care what the haters said. Can I go ahead and preach? Let me tell you about some haters. There were haters that came in Jesus' time when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. They laid palm branches before his way and they waved their hands and glorified God. But a scant 1 week later, the haters came out. We don't want him to be called the Son of the Living God. What did they do? Well, the haters came and took Jesus. Can I go ahead and preach? The Bible said in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, Jesus had prayed all night long. And I got to know, want you to know that when you pray, God will fortify you for the things that's coming in your life. The Bible said a cool crowd came and they took Jesus, my Lord and your Savior, led him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Let me tell you how you handle your haters. You don't need to fight with them. You don't need to argue with them. For Jesus said, not a mumbling word. Have I got a witness here? I want somebody to see this, because they call him Beelzebub. They said he was everything but the child. Knows who God is. Have I got a witness here? They led him from judgment hall to judgment hall, and he opened not his mouth. The Bible said that finally they had a cruel. Oh yes, they had a court that was unfair. But here they tried to judge a righteous man in an unrighteous court. But one thing I want you to know, that righteousness will prevail. Have I got a witness here? What do you do when the haters seem to prevail? They took my Lord and your Savior. They nailed him to a cross. Have I got a witness here? It seemed like the haters had prevailed. He died. The haters said, yeah, we got him now. But I want you to know, they put him in a borrowed grave. He stayed there. Oh, yes. Friday night, all day Saturday. But I'm glad to tell you, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Have I got a witness here? They put him in a borrowed grave. Have I got a witness? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, had to borrow a grave, but he didn't have to keep it, because when he got up, he had all power in his hand. I'm closing now. Don't let the haters get you down, for Jesus got up. Have I got a witness here? And because he lives, we shall live also. As I close, who am I? I'm glad you ask. I am a child of the living God. Have I got a witness here? down here. You call me pastor, but when I get up there, he's gonna call me servant. Oh, yes. All of us no longer will need titles. The only title we'll have is servant of the Most High God. He's all right. He's all right. Oh, yes. Do you know him? Have you tried him? Is your life wrapped up in Jesus? I heard the poet said, I'm tied up, tangled up, wrapped up in Jesus. When the haters come, I'm all right. I'm all right. Oh, yes. Let the haters come. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. You can hate me all you please. I'm going to tell God down on my knees. Amen. Amen. When I tell God, God said, I know how to make all things well. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that I'm almost done. One of the things that I want us to know is the God that we serve is omniscient. He knows everything. See, sometimes we forget that God knows what we're going through. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You don't need to do that. Amen, amen. When you know that you know, amen, straighten your shoulders up. Raise your chin and know that I am a child of the Most High God, and no weapon. Hallelujah. All right, I'm done. Amen. Amen. We shall extend the privilege to the church. There might be one here who.